Hello and welcome to your GCSE Chemistry Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most important and most frequently examined topics in the whole specification, bonding and structure. Now, I know what you might be thinking. It's just atoms sticking together. How hard can it be? But here's the thing. This topic is absolutely packed with exam marks, and it's also one of the areas where students most commonly drop points, not because they don't know the content, but because they use slightly wrong language or forget a key detail at the crucial moment. So in the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover all four types of bonding and structure. Ionic, simple molecular covalent, giant covalent, and metallic. We'll nail the properties that go with each one. I'll give you my top exam tips, and we'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. Grab a pen and paper because active revision is always better than passive listening. Let's go! Let's start with ionic bonding. Ionic bonding happens between a metal and a nonmetal. The metal atom loses one or more electrons to become a positively charged ion. We call that a cation. And the nonmetal gains those electrons to become a negatively charged ion called an anion. The classic example is sodium chloride, table salt. Sodium loses one electron to become sodium plus, and chlorine gains that electron to become chloride minus. Now here's the really important bit for the exam. These ions don't just sit in pairs. They arrange themselves into a giant ionic lattice, a huge, regular three-dimensional structure of alternating positive and negative ions. The force holding them together is called electrostatic attraction, and it's strong. This is why ionic compounds have high melting and boiling points. You need a lot of energy to break all those strong electrostatic forces throughout the lattice. For conductivity, and this is a classic exam trap, ionic compounds do not conduct electricity when they are solid. That's because the ions are fixed in position in the lattice and cannot move. But when you melt an ionic compound or dissolve it in water, the ions become free to move, and then it does conduct. Always state the state, solid, molten, or aqueous, when you answer a conductivity question. Moving on to covalent bonding. Covalent bonding happens between nonmetals. Instead of transferring electrons, the atoms share pairs of electrons. Each shared pair of electrons forms one covalent bond. Water is a great example. The oxygen atom shares one pair of electrons with each hydrogen atom, forming two single covalent bonds. Now, covalent substances come in two very different types, and this is where a lot of students go wrong. The first type is simple molecular substances. These are small molecules. Think water, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, ammonia, methane. The covalent bonds within the molecule are strong, but the forces between the molecules, called intermolecular forces, are weak. And here's the critical point. When a simple molecular substance melts or boils, it's the weak intermolecular forces that are overcome, not the covalent bonds. This is why simple molecular substances have low melting and boiling points. They do not conduct electricity because there are no charged particles. The second type of covalent substance is the giant covalent structure. Diamond and graphite are both forms of carbon, and both are giant covalent structures, but they have very different properties because of how the atoms are arranged. In diamond, every carbon atom is bonded to four other carbon atoms in a tetrahedral arrangement. This creates an incredibly strong, rigid, three-dimensional lattice of covalent bonds. To melt diamond, you'd have to break millions of strong covalent bonds, which is why diamond has an extremely high melting point and is the hardest natural substance. Diamond does not conduct electricity because all four of each carbon's electrons are used in bonding. There are no free electrons. Graphite is fascinating because it's so different from diamond despite being the same element. In graphite, each carbon atom bonds to only three others, forming flat hexagonal layers. The fourth electron from each carbon atom becomes delocalized. It's free to move between the layers. This is why graphite conducts electricity. Those delocalized electrons carry charge. The layers in graphite are held together by weak intermolecular forces, so they can slide over each other, making graphite soft and slippery. Useful as a lubricant and in pencil leads. Now let's talk about metallic bonding. Metals consist of a regular lattice of positive metal ions surrounded by a sea of delocalized electrons. These are electrons that have left their parent atoms and are free to move throughout the entire structure. The electrostatic attraction between the positive ions and the negative sea of electrons holds the structure together. This model explains all the key properties of metals beautifully. Metals conduct electricity because the delocalized electrons can flow freely. That's what an electric current is. Metals are malleable, they can be bent and shaped because the layers of ions can slide over each other without breaking the metallic bond, since the sea of electrons simply rearranges. Metals generally have high melting points because the metallic bonds are strong, though. This varies. Mercury is actually liquid at room temperature. Right, let's get into exam technique. I'm going to share the mistakes I see most often and how to avoid them. Mistake number one, confusing intermolecular forces with covalent bonds. If a question asks why water has a low boiling point, you must say it's because the weak intermolecular forces between molecules require little energy to overcome, not because the covalent bonds are weak. The covalent bonds in water are actually very strong. This single mistake costs students marks every single year. Mistake number two, saying ionic compounds conduct electricity when solid. They don't. The ions are fixed. Write this down and memorize it. Ionic solids do not conduct. Molten or dissolved? Yes. Solid? No. Mistake number three, forgetting delocalized electrons when explaining conductivity in graphite or metals. The examiner is specifically looking for the phrase delocalized electrons or free electrons. If you just say electrons can move, you may not get the mark. Be precise. Mistake number four, assuming all covalent substances have high melting points, only giant covalent structures do. Simple molecular covalent substances have low melting points. Always identify which type of covalent structure you're dealing with before answering. For command words, if the question says explain, you must use the word because or give a cause and effect link. Ionic compounds have high melting points because strong electrostatic forces between oppositely charged ions require a large amount of energy to overcome. That's the structure the examiner wants. If the question says compare, you must address both substances and use comparative language. Higher than, unlike, whereas. For 6-mark questions on this topic, structure your answer by naming the type of bonding or structure, describing the arrangement of particles, explaining the forces involved, and then linking that to the property being asked about. That 4-step approach will get you to full marks. Okay, quick fire time. I'll ask the question, pause, then give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What type of bonding occurs between a metal and a nonmetal? Ionic bonding. Question 2. Why do simple molecular substances have low melting points? Because the intermolecular forces between molecules are weak and require little energy to overcome. Question 3. Why does graphite conduct electricity but diamond does not? Graphite has delocalized electrons that are free to move. In diamond, all electrons are used in covalent bonding. Question 4. In what states can ionic compounds conduct electricity? When molten or when dissolved in water, not when solid. Question 5. What is the sea of delocalized electrons in metallic bonding responsible for? Electrical conductivity and malleability. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review that section. Let's wrap up with the key things to take away from today. 1. There are 4 types of bonding and structure. Ionic, simple molecular covalent, giant covalent, and metallic, and each has a distinct set of properties. 2. Always link the property to the force being overcome. High melting point means strong forces. Low melting point means weak forces. 3. For conductivity, always state the state, solid, molten, or aqueous, and always mention charged particles, ions, or delocalized electrons. 4. Never confuse intermolecular forces with covalent bonds. They are completely different things. 5. Diamond and graphite are both giant covalent structures made of carbon, but their different arrangements give them completely different properties. That's it for today's episode. Keep revising, keep testing yourself, and remember, every mark you understand now is a mark you'll earn in the exam. Good luck, and I'll see you next time.